Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
It's the same thing with the mustard seed. The seed is actually very small, and you can find yourself discouraged saying, I thought I had faith at least that size, but it's actually much deeper than that. Because mustard seeds was created to counteract with lime inside the limestone mountains. And so the more you plant mustard seeds in the mountains, it draws the lime out. And day in, day out, consistently doing what it was created to do, it actually breaks the mountains from the inside out. So we talked about that. We talked about what it looks like to be stuck, that a lot of believers get stuck in cycles, not because God abandoned them, but because they stopped showing up and they stopped obeying. We talked about the Israelites, how that was a really great example of people in the Bible that got stuck out of complacency and out of they would complain when it got hard, or they would complain when it got tough, or they would complain when it didn't get answered the way they thought it got answered. So then all of a sudden they were worshiping idols again and ready to go back to Egypt, which if you remember was actually horrible for them. So they actually never gained what the Lord had for them because they continued to stay stuck in this lack of consistency in their obedience. And so we talked about how consistency isn't flashy, but it's faithful. We talked about it's continuing to pray when nothing changes. It's continuing to obey when you don't understand. I will talk slower when we get the message, I promise. And it's continue to trust God in the middle. We learned that consistency is showing up, but consistency alone is not enough. Because eventually, every believer will hit moments where consistency becomes costly. And so this morning, as last week, we exposed it and we said, hey, so what are the areas you're stuck? Because people get stuck out of fear or out of pride or out of disappointments, or their pride got hurt out of embarrassment because the Lord didn't do it the way that they thought they would do it, or it hasn't been answered yet, or it just hasn't showed up yet, and you've been waiting forever, and so we get stuck. But this morning, I want to tell you that about persistence, because persistence gets back up, and persistence is what you're going to need to make it through the process. Persistence is what you're going to need to remain unstuck. And so this morning I want to equip you. So what persistence does is persistence remains even when the process gets painful. Persistence remains when the waiting gets longer. Persistence remains when the answers do not come quickly. And persistence shows up even when it becomes harder than you expected. Consistency will get you started, but persistence is what's going to carry you through. So I'm going to give you two definitions, and then we're going to dive into this message. Persistence, the definition of that, means someone or something that continues to exist, act, or endure despite difficulties, opposition, or over a long time. Persistence is not pretending that the process doesn't hurt. Persistence is refusing to quit because it does. Process, as discussed last week, refers to the deliberate, gradual, and often challenging journey that God uses to transform, refine, and mature believers, shifting your focus from instant results to long-term spiritual growth. It is a divine method of sanctification, shaping character through trials and obedience. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is anybody can worship when heaven is loud. Anybody can worship when the answer comes quickly. But persistence is what happens when you worship when heaven gets quiet. Hebrews 10:36 tells us that you're going to need this endurance and perseverance to make it through a process. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." But that promise belongs to people who outlast discouragement, not to people that do it halfway. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible, and I think we miss out on them because it says, God said this, God said this, God said this. Yes, but he didn't say it because he's a genie in a bottle. He didn't say it because it's Burger King and you can have it your way. You can do whatever you want to do, Hannah, but on the day that you want to cash in on that promise, it's there. It's actually for people that live a surrendered life, people that live a persistent life that said, Lord, my life belongs to you, not to myself. So the thing is the promise belongs to people who outlast discouragement, and that comes through perseverance, and that comes through endurance. Process, as I said last week, is not punishment, but it is about development. If you never make it through a process, you're never going to grow. Because if they take you from here to there, you didn't gain any of the maturity in between. So now you're going to be somebody that's walking in something that you actually don't know how to handle because you never had to deal with the little things to get there. So it's very, very important. And a lot of times what we miss, because we believe in this fairy tale gospel, and we believe in this, hey, okay, everybody's talked about Jesus, so let me just come and get saved, and my life is going to be perfect. And I'm going to say euphemisms that are incorrect this morning. And I'm going to tell you that now because I have this whole front row has already laughed at me in the second row because I don't say them right, and it's okay. They make sense in my brain. So when I say them wrong, you're going to know what I mean, okay? So when they say tiptoeing through the tulips, I'm probably going to say tipping through the lilies, and you're going to know what I mean, okay? But the thing is that people will come in and they get saved and they're like, okay, my life was horrible. Now I got saved, so my life's probably going to be amazing. I'm not going to have any struggles. And that's why people don't stay, because we've painted this picture of if you serve the Lord, your life is going to be great and you're not going to have any problems. But that's actually not what the Word says. The Word is very clear that any process that you walk through, you're going to face trials and tribulations. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to go through wilderness times because that's when the Lord talks to you most. You're going to go through times where you're lonely. You're going to go through times where you're sad. You're going to go through all of these different seasons in your life. But the difference is you have someone with you walking you through it. The difference is the only difference between Christianity and the world is we have hope. We have something to believe in. We have something that says, I know this is hard, but with God, there's nothing I can't do. He's going to walk me through every single bit of it. Does the Word say that? Yes, it does. In John 16, 33, Jesus promises, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In Acts 14, 22, Paul and Barnabas teach that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. James 1, 2 through 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In that version, it says endurance, same word. If you hope, Romans 8, but if you hope for what we do not see, through perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And whether you realize it or not, biblical faith is attached to endurance and perseverance. Enabled to actually walk in it, you have to have the two. There are so many examples in the Bible, and I wanted to pull out two really good ones because I felt like I learn by examples. I don't want you to tell me that I made it through. I want you to tell me how you made it through, because I have a lot of people that say, I did that. Like, if y'all didn't know, I get the privilege. Sometimes it's a privilege. I get the privilege of loving on these youth and young adults. And I tell them, hey, I've been there. I've done that. And they're like, well, you don't understand. But I do understand, because I've probably done more than any of them ever thought about doing. But they like to hear examples, and they want to know, well, how do you know? You've never did this. You've never walked through this. You've never. So I think it's the same way with the Word. We like to say, hey, you can make it through this. Well, how do you know? Because the Word says that you can. Because there's so many people that have walked through these things through perseverance. And had they not had persistence, they would have never gotten what it was they were looking for, what they were longing for, what they've been waiting for, none of the things. And it really is a privilege to lead these youth and young adults. I was just joking, just so y'all know that. Okay. The first one is blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to read you the story, but I'm going to give you the scripture so you can read it on your own. It's Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. Blind Bartimaeus had unwavering persistence as he refused to be silent by the crowd. If you read the scripture, especially in the NLT version, it says that they sternly told him to shut up. They sternly said, please quit yelling. But all the more he yelled out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He had been laying there forever and could not see. He had no eyesight. And he knew a man that was coming through that could heal his eyesight. He knew a man that he needed to get his attention. And the louder that the crowd got telling him to shut up, the louder Bartimaeus got. He didn't get quiet because the crowd tried to make him feel foolish for crying out. But Bartimaeus had suffered too long to stay silent. How many of us have reached those places in our lives where people are trying to dim our light? I'm sorry, my light's been dim for too long, and you're not going to put a shade over it. Some of you let opposition silence your pursuit. Some of you become quiet because disappointment embarrassed your faith. But true persistence sounds like, I know too much about Jesus to stop crying out now. When you know Jesus is passing by, you stop caring who tells you to be quiet. And that's the only reason that Bartimaeus got his miracle. Not because Alyssa said, would you please shut up because we're trying to actually honor this man. Instead, he said, I don't really care what you think right now. I know a man that's walking through right now that has the power to look at me and say, be healed, and I will gain my eyesight back. And that's exactly what happened to blind Bartimaeus. But that's not the only issue. That's not the only area in the Bible that it happened. What about the woman with the issue of blood? It's in Mark 5, verses 25 through 34. This woman had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. She was very sick. She had spent all of her life savings, according to the word, going to doctors after doctors after doctors, trying to get some type of relief. She was trying to get help everywhere she knew. But according to Levitical law, she was actually considered unclean. So she wasn't even allowed to go out in public. She wasn't allowed to be part of public worship. She wasn't allowed to be around other people. So she was going against all obstacles. She was breaking the law, literally, to go out in public and say, I know a man's coming through town. And I'm going to do, no matter what it takes, I'm going to overcome every obstacle to make sure that I get to him. Because if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that what I've been trying to have happen to me in the last 12 years will be healed in a second. And so it didn't matter. Going against all odds, it didn't matter, because persistence for her kept reaching out even after disappointment. Some people stop reaching because disappointment convinced them that nothing will ever change. Had she just stopped, had she said, this is my inheritance, I guess I'm just stuck. I'm going to bleed for the rest of my life. No doctors are going to heal me, and I'm going to die here alone because I sure can't be around people. Then she wouldn't have got healed that day. But instead, she knew through her disappointment, I kind of go because there's a man right now that's going to heal my body. And that's the thing, is disappointment only wins when it convinces you to stop reaching. I know at times we find ourselves in situations and we think like, but the words, and how can we even think like this? But the word says that we can be persistent. The word says that you've been equipped with endurance. The word says that you actually have this. Not on the surface, maybe, but actually with what the words mean. Because I've told you, on the surface, the word means one thing. But if you actually dig, the word means so much more. So in Galatians 5, it's talking to you about the fruits of the Spirit. This is right after it talks about if you're sowing into the seeds of your flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against and such things there is no law. Where does that say endurance and perseverance? Well, the word faithfulness alone in the Bible is defined as persistence in believing and trusting in God. It is the unwavering steadiness that allows a Christian to continue following God despite challenges. But he didn't just tell us that one time. He actually put it in there twice. Because patience and long-suffering, in the Greek word, is macrothemia, and it means endurance, constancy, and perseverance, particularly when facing trouble or waiting for God's timing. So that means he has already told me in his word that if I walk according to the Spirit and I line up with what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do, that I can walk in perseverance because I have patience and I am faithful. That is what those two words actually mean. And what you need to remember, if you're taking notes, small things done consistently create results that massive things done occasionally never will. Small things done consistently create results that massive things done occasionally never will. Small things done consistently, and y'all can tell me to slow down. I'm sorry, I get to talking fast. Create results that massive things done occasionally never will. You see, because you have been equipped to endure hard things. If Jesus can do it, we can do it. We were created in his image. So if Jesus can endure hard things, he's equipped us to endure hard things. He's gave us the Holy Spirit who will help us to do these things. But persistence, what you need to know, is not produced by personality. Now, I believe that I'm a really strong person. I am strong-willed, probably stubborn, and, I got a thick head. But that does not make me persistent. That's just my personality. Because you can be like kind and sensitive and so easygoing and not stubborn at all, and you can still be persistent. Persistent is not based on personality. Persistent is produced by partnership with the Holy Spirit, which is what the Word says. When you operate according to the fruits of the Spirit, then you do have patience. But what I need you to know is the Holy Spirit did not come just to make you emotional. We live in this world where emotions lead all the things. But He did not come to make you emotional. The Holy Spirit came to make you enduring. So I do have two stories that I'm going to read to you out of the Bible. They are in red letters. I need you to know that more than anything, that there are red letters, and there's a purpose that I'm telling you that. Luke 11:5-10. These are two more examples about perseverance. Then teaching them more about prayer. This is right after He was telling them about the Lord's Prayer and how to pray. He said, then teaching them more about it, He said, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You said to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, do not bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I cannot help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. If you're looking at this in your Bible, go 7 more chapters forward to Luke 18. We're going to look at one more story about persistence. Verses 1-8 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never get up. There was a judge in a certain town, and he neither cared about people nor God. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? So what is the obvious in these two messages? Persistence. But what is not obvious that should be? That Jesus is the one teaching persistence here in both scriptures. They're both red letters, and Jesus is telling them both these stories and talking about persistence, and he's teaching them. And the important thing that you need to know about that is because if Jesus is teaching you to be persistent, that means nobody can shut you up. That means nobody can tell you that you need to be quiet, because Jesus himself said you need to keep asking. You need to be persistent, because persistence is what's going to help you get through a process. Persistence is what's going to help you not stop. Persistence, the definition, is to get back up. So persistence is going to help you get back up even when the world is falling down around you. Jesus himself said to keep showing up, keep asking, don't stop. Jesus himself taught persistence because persistence is how you make it through the process. So what does that look like? It looks like you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep worshiping, you keep believing, you keep praying, you keep pouring your heart out, you keep showing up, you keep knocking, you keep getting back up. Every time it knocks you down, you get back up. Even if you don't think you can, you get knocked. I don't know if you saw that guy, and it's like he's walking up the little stairs, and there's a little bouncy thing down here. He's walking up, and then he falls down, but it bounces him back up, and he's down a step, but he goes back up 2 steps. It bounces his back down, and he's down, but he keeps moving forward. Every time you're knocked down, you keep getting back up. That's what persistence means. Persistence is not an emotional response. It is faith refusing to leave. Persistence also is active faith. The act of believing God is going to work something out. He was able to have favor with his neighbor because of his shameless persistence. What I mean by that active faith is Sometimes persistence looks like the definition of faith of I'm going to take a step on the staircase even though I don't see any other steps. But that's where the Lord meets you. The Lord didn't say, stay right there with your hands crossed and I'm going to take care of it. He said, take a step. The faith is I'm going to take a step because the Lord's going to meet you. And when he does, he carries you through the rest of the way. Passive faith, on the other hand, is what a lot of people do. They just sit right here and say, angel, the Lord gave me a word. And he's going to heal my back. And I'm going to be perfectly healthy and everything's going to be perfectly fine. And I'm going to sit here until he does. Active faith says, well, no, the Lord said he's going to heal my back. So I'm going to go walk and I'm going to strengthen it every day. The Lord said he was going to heal my back, so I'm going to start doing stretches because I believe that I can, because I'm going to be able to, because my back's going to be able to bend the way it was, because he's going to meet me when I take a step. He meets you when you take action. He meets you. That's the thing. Active faith is a willing participant that says God is going to move. I may not know how. I may not know when. I may not know what it's going to look like. I may not know how it's going to look or how it's going to turn out, but he told me he was going to move. And so because of that, I'm going to take a step and meet him, because the dance is not you stand here and wait for somebody to move you. You have to move with the person that's dancing. Otherwise, it just looks weird. Romans 8:28 says this in the scripture. He says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So how do I know all of this? I know all of this because the word is very clear. So let me show you how this comes alive, because I want to like break it down so simple that like you can't walk away being like, I didn't understand that. So if you're a person of the word and you study the word and you pray and you sit down with the living, breathing author, it's the only book you can open up that you're sitting with someone that's alive sitting across from you and he can show you things. When you start reading or you start praying, he will give you a revelation. Something will jump off the page. Something will come in your heart when you're praying. Something is revealed to you at some point while you're spending time with him. Well, revelation produces awareness. So then you are made aware of something. No different if I take supernatural, like super, nothing spiritual, just very natural, and somebody corrected me on something that I didn't know I was doing. Maybe you had Aria, and Aria didn't know that she wasn't supposed to touch the stove as a kid. She didn't know. But when you revealed it to her, then she became aware. There was an awareness. So revelation produces awareness. Well, now awareness demands a response. So either Aria could not touch the stove anymore because she's been aware of it, or if she touched it again, she was going to get a whooping. It's the same thing spiritually. Revelation produces an awareness. The Lord has showed me something. He has said, hey, that's not good in you. You need to get it out. You need to quit gossiping. You need to quit doing whatever. You need to quit drinking. You need to whatever the thing is that he got on to me about. So there's an awareness. Now that awareness demands a response. I can either move towards what he's revealed to me or I can move away from it. Now, that response manifests as faith in pursuit. Now, revelation, though, without response becomes religion. That's what you see in 99% of the churches today. There's a revelation. The Lord has said something, and they say, well, that's not how we do it, so bless it. It becomes religion. Religion means that you do things out of duty. You do things the way you've always done them just because there's a checklist and there's some rules and you got to do it this way, and that's religion. But revelation is met with encounter, was met with pursuit. When it's met with pursuit, it becomes an encounter, and that becomes a relationship. Because relationship, on the other hand, is done out of delight. Yeah. Yeah. It's really different when your husband comes in, which I don't have one, but I will soon. When your husband comes in and he throws all of his dirty clothes down in the back door and says, you will clean that up because you're my wife. That's your duty. I assure you, as a wife, you do not want to do that. Because it makes you mad, because you think, who is he telling me what I'm going to do, that I must do it? Versus your husband has worked hard all day. He's got mud on his boots. He comes in. He doesn't want to track it through your house. So he takes them off and he leaves them by the door. And they're kind of in the way. But y'all have such a beautiful relationship. It's a delight because your husband's been out working for you all day long to provide a beautiful home for you. And it's the least I can do. There's a difference between religion and relationship. And so revelation without that response, when the Lord shows you something and you refuse to move, when the Lord shows you something and you refuse to repent and you refuse to walk in a different path because you know better, that becomes religion. My box is checked. I've said my prayer. As Landon said a couple of weeks ago, I got saved from, not saved for, so I don't need anything else. Versus revelation, when met with pursuit, it becomes an encounter. An awakened faith is consistently persistent. It can't help but be. And the thing is, here's the deal. Some of you quit praying consistently. You were praying consistently until disappointment hit. Some of you were obeying consistently until he didn't actually walk through what you thought he should walk through. Some of you were believing until the answer was delayed. Some of you were pursuing God until exhaustion convinced you it wasn't working. But who told you to stop? See, the delay was never permission to quit. Just because heaven got quiet doesn't mean God walked away. Silence is not abandonment. Landon said it a few weeks ago, but I've never known a teacher that talks during a test. The teacher's usually quiet. And so what that looks like while you're walking through something that the Lord has equipped you with, he gave you the tools. He showed you how to make it from point A to point B. Now he's standing there like a good father and saying, I'm watching my child do it. Because when she falls, then I'm going to pick her up and I'm going to say, okay, let's try it again. But next time do this. There's always a process and the teacher is always with you. Silence does not mean that he walked away from you. He's watching you grow. How do I know this? It's in the scripture. Isaiah 40:31. NLT says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God never asked you to persist in your own strength. He said he would be with you every single step of the way. Because persistence is not striving, it's obedience. Striving says, I have to force this because there's a checklist. Persistence says, God told me to walk, so I will. The ways of Jesus are persistent. Those who are obedient to this way will see things that those who don't won't see. Maybe you stopped pushing because you stopped asking. Like I told you last week, a lot of us get stuck in that because we just say, well, I've asked, and well, then I took a little break because it didn't work, and then I tried to ask again, and then when I went back, it just felt harder to talk to him because I really ain't been talking to him. And then it just felt like awkward, like a first date. And it was just really hard and I didn't want to do that anymore. So then I just quit talking because he wasn't talking back. And then we get stuck. I mean, and that's the truth. I mean, I'm genuinely telling you the truth. But persistence is all through the Bible. And it will show you that you actually do not do it. It'll actually show you that... I was going over this with her, and she made me throw my iPad because she scared me, so I was just making sure she didn't. But persistence is all through the Bible, and you will not make it through the process with the Lord if you are not persistent. Some of these look like Genesis 32. It might look like Jacob, who was wrestling with the Lord, and he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. It might look like Hannah in 1 Samuel, where she's consistently arguing and bickering with Peninnah, who's actually like really making it hard for her. She did not abandon her faith or give up seeking God because of her infertility. Instead, through her persistence and her continued pursuit with the Lord, it led to the birth of Prophet Samuel. Maybe it looks like persistence with Job, who had lost his wealth, his children, his health, but he persevered through unimaginable suffering, maintaining his faith despite hardship. Maybe it does look like Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. Through persistence and through against all odds, she pushed through until she touched the hem of his garment. And what was going on and what she tried for 12 years was healed up in one second. Maybe it looks like Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus, who actually was sitting there crying out to the Lord, and he persevered even when they told him to shut up. And he said, I will say it even louder because I know a man that can heal me. Maybe it looks like Acts 1:14, where the disciples devoted themselves to prayer and fasting until the day of Pentecost come. Perseverance is the only thing that's going to get you through the process, and the Lord equipped you with it. So what does that mean? It means it's time to get up and pray again. It means it's time to get up and believe again. It means it's time to get up and hope again, to get up and pursue again, to get up and worship again, to get up and knock again. Because some of you quit knocking because he didn't answer the door. But it wasn't that he didn't answer the door. It's that you were trying to rush the process. And he said, honey, you missed five streets before you ever got here because you took a plane. But I was trying to make you walk through it so that you could look and see what the mud puddles look like. And you could look and see what the valleys look like. And you can look and see what it looks like when people are throwing rocks at you. So that when you reach this level and people are throwing rocks, you can handle it, because you could handle it here with peons. You're never going to be able to handle it here if you didn't go through the process. Some of you thought the process was going to bury you, but God said it was just planting you. Everything has to die first. Some of you thought that it was a tomb, but it was actually a womb. Wombs are very dark and cold and quiet and painful at times, but they produce something so beautiful. Some of you thought that the warfare meant you missed God, but the warfare actually came because you are with God. Some of you are one prayer away from a breakthrough, but the enemy has spent this whole last season trying to exhaust your pursuit. But you did not come this far to quit in the middle. Persistence says, I may crawl through this season, but by the grace of God, I am going to come through it. The worship team's going to come up here. We're going to turn them lights off, and I'm going to ask you some questions like I did last week, because I want you to think about this. And I ask you to close your eyes, but that's not because I'm trying to be super spiritual. I know that when the worship team's coming up, sometimes we can be distracted because we're watching them instead of listening to what I'm trying to tell you. So I just want to ask you a couple of things so that you can search your own heart. What promise did you stop pursuing because delay discouraged you? Where did disappointment silence your pursuit? What prayer did you stop praying because the answer did not come quickly? Have you become spiritually passive but pretending to be patient? Did you stop knocking because you secretly quit believing? What areas of your life need shameless persistence instead of silent surrender? What if breakthrough was on the other side of getting back up one more time? So many people miss it and they quit right before it's about to happen. And are you willing to continue through the process and continue to pursue God even when it hurts? See, I know that he's always with us through the good and the bad because the word tells us that. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus." James 1:12 tells us, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to him." Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do anything through Christ, who Christ strengthens me." See, persistence is not denying that the process exists. It is refusing to let the process define where your stories end. You didn't survive every attack, every disappointment, every long delay, every wilderness season just to die in the middle of the process. You survived too much to quit now. You've prayed too many prayers to stop now. You've come too far to turn back now. The same God that brought you into the process is the same God that will walk you through it. How do I know that? The word says it. In Isaiah 43, he says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you." He didn't say, "I might be." He said, "I will be." When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." says he'll be with you. Through the wind and the rain and the storms and the valleys and the mountains and the peaks and the good times and the bad times and through the mud. The Psalms even says that he will pull you out of that mud. He will pull you out of that muck and mire, and he will stand you on a rock. So last week it was more of a, hey, like, we're exposing the areas that you're stuck. We're exposing the areas that maybe you've gotten complacent and you said, this is good enough. It's not working out for me anyways. I haven't taken any steps forward, so I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to decorate my wilderness. I'm going to decorate it and just put a picture on the wall and call it home. I'm going to carry that one piece of bondage in my pocket because it's just not getting any better anyways, and I'm tired of trying. And so we got stuck. And we said, hey, that's going to look like repentance. That's going to look like coming before the Lord and saying, Father, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. I'm sorry that I didn't think that you was going to be able to walk me through that. But revelation brings an awareness demands a response. So now we're past the exposure. Now we're in the equipping. In order for you to make it through a process, you're going to have to be persistent. And some of y'all have chains that are tied on you that are keeping you from doing that, because you've linked up with some of that stuff and said, this is my home. If you're tired of just surviving, if you're tired of barely making it by because you've gotten used to doing it on your own and forgot that there's a Savior that wants to walk you through it, if you're tired of walking around the same mountain over and over and over again, feeling like this is it, if you're ready to stop sitting in discouragement and stop pursuing God, if you're ready to stop surviving and start pursuing again, Pastor Marty and Pastor Angela are going to come up here, and the altars are going to be open.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.